I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, welcome to the NRL Super Coach Podcast. Round 4, 2018 is done and dusted, and on to round 5 already. I've got myself, Nick, here, and on the other end of line, we've got Wenin, who, mate, I know you've been hanging and waiting for this podcast, haven't you? Because you've had a pretty good week in round 4.
I'm humble, mate. Sit down. I'm humble.
You are so not.
I am. I'm turning a new leaf, mate. I'm humble. It's good. Good to be in the top 500 after the first 4 rounds. Had a very good round last week, scoring 1,250-odd when everyone else seemed to struggle, particularly a few of the regular contributors to the website. How did you go, Matt?
Mate, I just under 1,000, 996. So my rank has not moved more than 200 spots in the last 3 weeks. I'm basically consistently just in the top 6,000. So very, very stable, mate. And the fact that you're humble, that makes me laugh. We should release some of those WhatsApp messages for public consumption.
Well, I'm just full of insight and knowledge and just, you know, general good banter. That's about it. Well, I mean, people would have probably been wondering where Joe Fitz is. He hasn't been on the podcast this year, but we did cop a little bit of grief that I guess he wasn't really performing. And so we made a tough decision, Nick and I, and we sent him back to the Resies, aka back to writing on the website. And when he, you know, somehow gets his ranking back, you know, out of 50,000th or wherever he is right now, that we might welcome him back in the first grade.
Yeah, potentially. He's having a very rough year. The Fitz household as a whole is having a very rough year. I can't even find him in our league here. Oh, yeah, here he is. He's third last in the league, total points, just to keep everyone updated. Old Fitz is in 21,000th. And his wife, Mel, who is a much better Supercoach player than him to begin with, is in 33,000th. So she won
our league last year as well, so don't know what's happening there. There must be, I don't know. It's interesting, but I'm sure there's a fair bit of household rivalry, so they'll be okay.
Yep. They'll come good. All right, big show tonight, as always. Lots of injuries this week, team news, and plenty of trades to talk about. So we'll get right into it, mate. I'll just run us through some of the injuries first up. Obviously, we got Tommy Turbo injured his ankle, named on an extended bench this week. You'd probably have to say unlikely to get the nod. Tolman's done his ankle. He's out for 8 weeks. Still no sign of Richie Kenna with that hamstring injury. Finucane's out for a month with a thumb. Jordan McLean's out for 3 months or potentially the season with a Lisfranc injury in the foot. 3 ACLs, which is horrible to see, with Moga, Sirinen, and Tanganoa. All ACLs, that's the 4th ACL for Moga, unfortunately. They'll all be out for the season. And then a couple of suspensions with Sam Burgess and Will Chambers both missing the next 2 weeks. So, mate, the carnage has started early this year, hasn't it?
It has, and I've been burning a lot of trades so far. So if this is a sign of things to come, then I'm probably going to be in a bit of trouble. But was pretty conservative with trades last year and not going to do that this time around. So, mate, go hard or go home is what I say.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, with less buy planning required this year, you're just going to have to go hard early. I should have stuck with my gut last week. I had Maloney sitting in my team, had him sitting there all week. Should have gone with my gut. Changed my mind on the Thursday afternoon and changed it to Milford, whacked the C on Milford, and then it's just downhill.
Horrible. There. Yeah, they're the decisions that make or break a season, isn't it? I think looking back 2 weeks ago when I traded in Widdop over Cleary, that was a 50-50 call for me. I was very, very close. The reason why I went with Widdop in the end was just their upcoming draw, and we've seen what happened there where their Widdop went huge and then Cleary went down with a major injury. So I know that for the past few seasons I've got that 50-50 call wrong, but this year thankfully have got it right, and you can just see the difference that it makes. So there's a lot of luck in this game.
Yeah, mate, I knew you had a lot of luck, or a little bit of luck at least, with Widdop. I mean, that was a very good selection, I'll give you that. But I knew you had a bit of luck when Turbo Captain, again, fair selection, but then playing Sammy, a bit of luck there. But then I knew it was all going your way when I looked at the Tigers game and I saw Rock, like 10 minutes into the game, Rocco had scored a try.
Mate, there was zero luck there. I'll tell you why. And the reasons is that I had no one on the bench other than Sammy, so he had to play. So okay. It wasn't even a decision. And then the same with Rocco. It's either him or Bryce Cartwright. So, again, no luck, mate. Just
well, that is luck, though, because you had no luck. Two worst players, just luck that they went off.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I probably wouldn't have played Cartwright regardless, but yeah. Mate, I can feel your jealousy from here.
Oh, it's a joke.
All right, should we smash through the teams, mate, and then get stuck into trades, which is probably what majority of the people want to talk about? Let's start with the Raiders at the top. So huge news there with Origin star Papali dropped. A few other things happening, but that's big news. So that'll probably be a 1 or 2 week thing you'd expect. For the Bulldogs, you got Mbai back, who he was suffered a big head clash last week, but has been cleared of concussion and come in. We've already spoken about Tolman, and then Elliott, who hasn't been in the starting side, comes into the side at lock. For the Sharks, you've got Dugan and Moylan returning, but probably not too much from a Supercoach perspective there. I mean, the Sharks generally, mate, are probably relatively Supercoach irrelevant at the moment. Gallen just is not performing, and they've got Fafita, but apart from that, it's they're almost a stay away side.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, hopefully Katoa's only a couple of weeks away, but yeah, Fafita's sort of plodding along. Gallen seems done. Not much else doing there, is there?
No, and Weko did tweet out tonight that Katoa has returned to training, had non-contact vest on, and will hopefully return from broken jaw in coming weeks. So I'm just going to hold him and also Lomax, I think, and just hopefully they will get a Guernsey over the coming month or so, and then look likely trade out someone like a Kenner for one of the cheap centre wings coming through.
Yeah, I'm a little bit torn on Kenner. I'm thinking about moving him this week to Crichton just to get some cash, because I have no way of generating any cash with all my spuds. Like, I've got 17 players this week. Maybe 18 if you count Cartwright and Nichols, 19 if you count those two, but really 17 options. So I've just got spuds galore, and I need to generate some cash to get some upgrades, and Kenner's really my only man at the moment.
Negative 21 BE, so you're going a bit early there, but I can understand. I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but I'm probably going to sell one of my underperforming guns, or maybe even two this week, to generate cash. Just, I mean, the same issue with you. Don't have much going on with a lot of the players. I've got Nichols, Katoa, and also Lomax. Fortunately, I do have Rocco and a couple of the other boys generating a bit of dollars now, but a couple of my guns will probably make way before the likes of Sammy and Kenner, who have a few more price rises ahead. Moving on to the next game, mate. So we've got Roosters, they're unchanged. Dragons, really not anything happening there. For the Bunnies, quite a bit. So do you just want to talk through the Bunnies changes? Because that's probably a relative or pretty relevant Supercoach thing to discuss.
Yeah, definitely. So Reynolds is back, which means Dewey's onto the bench. But more relevant in the outside backs, no Richie Kenner still. So Heimel Hunt's coming in at centre, is sliding into centre this week with Gagai on the wing. So there's a couple of trains of thought here. First train of thought is that Hunt's horrible on the wing. They need to do something to improve that position, which means that Kenner has great job security because he'll just slide back in. Other train of thought is that Heimel Hunt's been going okay and he may stay in the side, which might push Kenner's job security, make that a bit worse. So It's really interesting on Kenna in particular with those changes there.
Yeah, as I said, I'll probably just hold him for now, but yeah, your points are quite valid, but we'll just wait and see. Moving from the Tigers unchanged with Lola here coming in as fullback, he did that last week in the Storm. Quite a few things here as well. So Tonomapia comes in for the suspended Chambers. Kenny Bromwich replaces Finucane at lock. Brandon Smith as named on the bench. While some people might think that that suggests that Cameron Smith could play reduced minutes, Smith did line up on the bench a couple of weeks ago and it didn't impact anything. And then Felice Kaufusi is named on the extended bench. So for those that are looking to bring in a Joe Simpson or something, it's probably worthwhile taking note of that and not doing that. Your boys, the Warriors, what's going on?
Mate, Warriors are on fire. Grand final, Warriors versus Dragons.
They are flying, mate. I remember we had a podcast with Jared Condon from Reading the Play at the start, and he tipped the Warriors as being a value pick for the Wooden Spoon, and they just absolutely flying. To see what they did without SJ on the weekend with a rookie half in, there was calls to not let SJ come back. Is that something that you'd agree with, or he just has to be named straight away?
Yeah, no, I think he has to be named, but it was very good to watch on the weekend. So this is a doubleheader in New Zealand, for anyone who doesn't know. Tigers and Storm is the first game, followed by Warriors and Cowboys. Like you said, SJ's back. Mannering is back in for his debut game of the season. And Soggy Sayo is out of the side. For the Cowboys, we said that McLean is injured, so Bolton's in at prop. Lachlan Coote is still on an extended bench hanging around there. The third game Saturday night should be an interesting game. It's $1.90 each way at the moment. Knights and the Broncos. Moog is out, so Ross Dogg slides into centre and old Ken Seo is back on the wing. For the Broncos, Pangai Jr. named on an extended bench. Be very interesting to see if he comes into the side. Probably still a week away, potentially, but at least, you know, he's sniffing around, so it's good signs, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. He'd be a much welcomed commodity if he comes back with a lot of us quite short, given the injuries. And then the Titans-Eagles game, that's actually in Gladstone, I think, this week. So despite it being a home game for the Titans with Commonwealth games going on, they're playing all around the place at the moment. Titans are unchanged, which is, you know, not really a surprise. The Seagulls have made a raft of changes, some forced as well, with injuries. You've got Dylan Walker returning, Parker named to the wing, Wright named at fullback. Trbojevic is out, we think, for 1 to 2 weeks, although he's been named an extended bench. Herbie, you know, I think highly unlikely that he would play. Winterstein comes in to replace Surinen, and Guskowski is named to the bench for the injured Tanganoa. So a few points of note there, particularly Trbojevic, but anyone else there take your fancy?
Oh, that Guskowski, he was a decent player last year. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was at the Rabbitohs. So he could be one to watch if he could get Tanganoa's minutes. You know, doesn't look like Lusick is coming back anytime soon. And we know Tanganoa's obviously done for the year. So, yeah, potentially one to watch there. A cheapie, maybe,
yeah.
But not sure.
Yeah, so he was at the Rabbitohs last year, just played the one game for 27 points and 27 minutes. The year before that, he played five games. It's averaged, again, very poor, 19 points per game for, I think, 0.5 points per minute. But a few of those games are spent in the back. So definitely a player to watch and comes in very cheaply. So, you know, if we've probably got the likes of a Cartwright, Nichols, those kind of guys floating around, or even a Sow in your, you know, we need to get rid of, then potentially he comes through and, you know, we can look at, you know, using him as a bit of a downgrade target, or even in the case of Nichols, maybe sideways.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, if you've got Cartwright in your back row, there's quite a few decent options there. If you're like me and you've got Cartwright in your halves, there's literally nothing you can do with him at the moment. And, you know, unless you've got bulk cash to go up to one of these keepers, there's, from a cheapy mid-range perspective, I don't really think there's a lot doing in the halves.
Yep, no, I agree. And, I mean, we can talk about Cartwright. Maybe this is – we'll get onto him a little bit later. But, yeah, he's a player that I'm probably, like you, unfortunately unable to move on, but there's reasons for that. So We'll talk about that in our next part about trades, but let's finish off the teams and discuss the Eels and the Panthers. So the Eels got Kenny Edwards starting in the back row and Moreau named on the bench. Who knows what's going on with the Eels? They look like a complete disaster at the moment. And a super coach, if their playing side's playing, then it's, you know, it's looking pretty good because they're conceding a lot of points. And then the Panthers, who were fantastic in North Queensland last week, Merrin named a prop. He hasn't been getting any minutes of late. And then Yao and Kakao named him in second row. Kakao playing the full 80 minutes last week. But you know, James Fisher-Harris named at lock, which is quite interesting. I think he played 65 minutes there next week and is one of the more popular trade-in targets. And I think, mate, that that could be a nice little segue for us to discuss trades. Or should we just take a quick little break and then jump into it?
Yep, quick break first to hear from our sponsors and then we'll go straight into it, I think.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so let's start with the most sold, you know, or let's start with the sell portion of trades this week. Look, let's go from the top with Cartwright. Played 1 minute, scored 3 points. Every podcast out there is talking about him. Every website's talking about him. I think if you can, just in my opinion, if you can easily move him on, if you've got, if you've got him in second row and you can move him on for someone cheap or a mid-pricer, I'd do it, but I wouldn't, you know, screw around too much with your team just for the sake of getting rid of him. You can just sit him there. He might not make his BE, but he's not going to lose a heap of cash, I don't think.
Yeah, so he's got a BE of 45 around that price, 277. So, yeah, what do we do, mate? He's played 52, 80 minutes, 80 minutes in the 1 minute. Only came on really because I think of an injury and you know, otherwise we wouldn't have copped that 3 points and it could have been, you know, a much better situation for us. But he definitely looks to be on the outer after just 4 games. And given how well the Titans performed last week with Arrow at lock and Matthews on the edge, then you would think that they won't change the structure of the side too much. However, potentially this is the wake-up call that he needs and I can see him playing on the edge. It just depends. But I'm like you. I don't – even if I do with the one trade that I definitely want to do this week, then I won't have enough value to get him or enough money to get him to anywhere else. I'm just short of the Cartwright to Arrow trade, so I need to probably, you know, look in a different direction. But he's one of three trade outs I'm looking at this week. But with only two trades, he's probably, second for mine.
Yeah. Yeah, look, yeah, the Cardi party's not happening this year, but – yeah, I think it's not the end of the world if you just sit him there. Burgess is out for a couple of weeks. People are selling him. I wouldn't be. I'd just be holding him and trying to cover him with one of the mid prices that you've probably undoubtedly got in your side already. Connor Watson, Tanganoa, Jordan McLean, all these injuries, they've all got to go. Trent Merrin. Let's talk him and Fisher-Harris together. So like you said, Merrin's moved into prop. His minutes have dropped off. The first couple of games, again, the signs were there. He wasn't playing big minutes, but he was scoring very well still. It's not good signs for him. I flicked him last week, and I think that, yeah, I think Merrin's got to go.
Yeah, you made a very good decision doing that. And if you look at how he scored well, I mean, firstly, let's look at his minutes. So 50 minutes in week one, 57 in week two when it was really, really hot, and then 42 minutes in 40 minutes. So that's really, really worrying signs. So stepping back to round two, he did score a try and had 20 points from evading. So you take that out, his base is only 48. Round one is where he really produced something like what we thought he would during the preseason with base of 56. But, you know, since then it's been really poor and he's definitely not performing at a premium level. So I'm going to be trading him this week while his value is still, okay at 530. I think he started the season. I'm just going to look at his starting price now. He started the year at...
He's actually up 18K.
Yeah, so I'm going to trade him now while his value is still sitting there, because with the break-even of 88, that's going to come down. And I'll be looking to move him on to Arrow, who looks like he could be ready for a massive breakout season. So my advice would be probably to move on Merrin. And, you got somebody like the likes of James Fisher-Harris, who was, promised a lot over the past couple of years and has suddenly this year just been getting the minutes. So just looking at what he's produced so far, mate, he's got minutes of 59 in round one, 66 last week, and then minutes just under 50 in rounds two and three. So it does look like he's getting a bit more of a crack at it. However, what I would say is that if you look at his stats from last week, there were quite a few attacking stats in there. So, his base was 57, but he did have, I think, a line break and a try assist thrown in there, or line break assist and try assist. So, I'm not 100% sold that he's the solution as well, because he only scored 48, 23, and 42 before that. So, what about you? Is James Fisher-Harris somebody that you'd be leaning to? I mean, he is priced at 320K, negative break even of 21. Would you be looking elsewhere?
I'd probably be looking elsewhere. I like the likes of Arrow, Cam Murray, those sort of guys a bit better than Fisher-Harris. On Sanger's pod today, they were making the point that the Panthers always change their team lists anyway an hour before the game, so you don't know how they're going to line up potentially. He could be back at prop and Merrin could be back at lock for all we know. So decent option with a low BE, going to make you good money over the next couple of weeks, but not a keeper, so you're going to have to trade him out in 2 or 3 weeks' time. So it's just going to cost you trades, but he could be a decent stepping stone to a fallen keeper.
Yeah, I mean, he had 0.8 points per minute in round one when he played 59 minutes for 48 points. So is that really what he's going to produce, or is he going to produce what he did last week, which is the 1.23 points per minute with the, the assist and some attacking stats in there? So I agree with everything you've said. I'll probably be staying away from him for those reasons.
Yeah, agreed. Mate, so conversely, we're punting Merrin. What are we doing with JT and Cam Smith? I think they're a little bit different personally, because they both play 80 minutes. Just as they are proven, Merrin's proven himself over the years as well. But I think it's just the involvement of JT and Cam Smith in the game for the full 80 minutes for mine means that they're both holds.
Yeah, I'm going to be trading Thurston out of my side at this stage, Nick. He has really looked very much under, that superstar that he has been in prior years. He produced 110 points in round two. He had a fantastic game against the Broncos. I think I was there and, he looked fantastic. And he actually should have had even more than that, because there was that, you remember the, where they ran into the... to the pole there, they couldn't score, so the goalpost. So if he, that was a try assist and a line break assist if he does that, so he goes up to 140. But outside of that, it's 54, 42 and 20 points. So his price is going to start to crumble, break even at 115, up against very much in-form Warriors this week, but then does play the Bulldogs, Gold Coast and Canberra. So they're all extremely winnable games and he can, produce big scores there. But what I'm kind of hoping for and can potentially sense is that he's going to lose quite a bit of cash over the coming weeks. And if his form does pick up, then I've got no issues trading him back into my side at a discount for round 13.
Yeah, so his price has obviously jumped up off the back of that 110, like you said, because his break even this week is 115. So that ton falls out of his rolling average and his price is going to drop. Yeah, I'm going to hold him for now, but I can understand while... you know, why some people are looking to sell him. Mate, there's a lot of other guns here with high break-evens. I'll just rattle off a couple of them, and then you can talk to some of the particular guys. Rapana, his break-even is 125. He's already dropped 80K this year. James Roberts' break-even's 107. Teddy's 100. Munster's 99. DCE's 97. Smithy's 92. RTS has gone up 120K, but he only had a 34 on the weekend, so his break-even is 92. DeBellin's 91. Billy Slater's 91. Milford and Taumalolo are 89. Michael Morgan's 86. There is a there is a lot of guns there with high break evens that are going to be, that have already dropped in price and are looking to drop even further in the next few weeks, isn't there?
There are. And let's start at the top with Jordan Rapana. So he's just looking on the top most traded out players, and he's not sitting out there at the moment, which is probably because he, you know, his ownership wasn't that fantastic or that high to start with, but with games at home against, just looking at it now, Bulldogs and Para in the next 2 weeks, I believe in Rapana. I think he's going to have a couple of big weeks there, so I'll be holding him. And you know, those over the couple of big scores gets his BE back to a level where he's just going to hold in price. So he's one that I'm definitely holding. And just stepping through Cameron Munster. So if I was an owner, I'd probably be trading him. The you know, at 5'8 this year just isn't really working for his super coach output. So he's a player that I'd be moving on. But, you know, he's already lost quite a bit of value at the moment already with 90K. Now, DCE is a player that I'm monitoring to trade in over the next couple of weeks. So obviously he's playing the round 13 bye. However, there's whispers around that he could be one of the options to replace Kronk and Thurston in the side this year for Queensland, which would mean that he doesn't play in that bye round, so that's a bit of a bummer. But you know, the Seagulls do have games coming up against, got the Titans this week away, but then they play the Tigers at home, Newcastle at home, and Broncos at home in 3 out of the next 5 weeks. And at Brookvale this year, they've just been unbelievable. So he's definitely a player that I'm monitoring. Working down then to Anthony Milford. So you brought him in last week. I know that Joe and Wilfred started with him. I always thought that he was going to start the season off really slowly, given the Broncos opening draw, which, whilst favourable, there was limited games at Suncorp. And you know, he's dropped by 90K already. And you know, current break even is going to see him, you know, of 90 is going to see him fall even further. So I don't know. If I started the season with Milford, I know that this early season slump was probably going to happen, so I would have to hold. Otherwise, I don't know why you would have brought him in the first place.
Mate, he was playing the Titans at Suncorp, and Widdop just put 180 on them.
Starting the season, so not having a go at you, but just starting from round one, when you knew that he had, I think, 6 of 9 games away from Suncorp, and his average is 80 versus 50. Now is definitely, like last week was the time to bring him in for sure, the game against Titans. And then if you're looking at their upcoming schedule, they've got Newcastle this week, but then they've got the Storm, Bulldogs, Sydney and Para at home over a 5 week period. So they're going to score plenty of, he'll produce plenty of points over that period. So I don't disagree with the way you've brought him in. I probably wouldn't be trading him out either with that upcoming draw.
No, I think you've just got to hold him. You've just got to stick with him and ride it out. I mean, there's nothing worse than having Milford as your captain. Nothing worse, because you're death riding him every time he gets the ball, you're death riding him, and every time he just gets demolished by someone, there's nothing worse.
Yeah, news today or reports of a push, particularly in the Courier Mail, to get him to fullback would be fantastic. I remember picking him up when he was at the Raiders around halfway through the season. He just went on an absolute blinder. So that would be great for his super coach output. I mean, one of the biggest issues for him is he doesn't kick goals, which is, you know, he loses those stats straight away. So he has to create from other places and just hasn't been able to do it this year. Taumalolo, so he's obviously been down this week. He played 73 minutes on the weekend but produced only 54 points. Now, with McLean going out, that's going to be interesting to see what that does for his output, because we know last year he produced brilliant stats without, obviously, McLean because he was at Storm, but without Scott. So with one of those two big guys going, it'll be, extremely interesting to see what Tamalolo does from here out.
Yeah, he's one that I'm definitely monitoring. Break even 89 this week. He, you know, he might be 100K cheaper than what he started at. He might be down to 550, 560K or so, which is pretty good buying for him. So he's definitely one to add to your watch list, I think, for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, particularly in that play, and as you said, they play in the round 13 bye, so he's certainly a player to be monitoring.
Definitely. All right, let's jump onto some buy options this week. Obviously, you know, we might talk about some further sells as we go through some of these, but some of the more popular options this week, obviously, your mate Sammy from the Titans. He's up 150K already, and people are still jumping on. Jai Arrow is very popular. I grabbed him a couple of weeks ago, which has turned out quite well.
Fisher, yeah, well done for that, mate. There was a that was a huge move, and you know, one of the few good decisions you've produced this year.
It's such a case of, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, super coaches, isn't it? But I mean, you know, for every I wish I had have done that, there's always I'm glad I didn't do that to offset it. So you can't complain too much, really.
So before we move on, just having a chat about Arrow, so he's gone up in price by just a bit under 100K already. His break even now is 19. Would you still be trading him in if you didn't have him already, given where he's priced at the moment?
I think I would. I mean, 400K is, from my quick maths, it's only about a 43 or a 44 average, I think. So he's still got at least 100-150K in him, I think. So yes, I would still be bringing him in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even if you look at what he's produced so far, so his two big games, round 2 and round 4, at 64 minutes and 58 minutes. In both of those games, he had base stats over 60. So that is just huge. So I'm definitely looking to bring him in. And as I said earlier, the Titans performed so well last week with him at lock, and he's just offers a completely different dimension to the side than what Cartwright does, because A, he can defend, and he just takes ridiculous amounts of hit-ups as well. So I think that he maintains that position in the side and could potentially, you know, be, you know, in the top five second row forwards come the end of the season.
Well, top five, that's a big call. Top 10, maybe.
If you have a look at what they're all doing at the moment, there's not really any standing out. You've got Tohu Harris, and that's about it.
Yeah, I know. It's rough.
And you've got Jake Trbojevic and Tohu Harris. And the rest, you've got Gallen, you've got Burgess, you've got Nathan Brown, who was disappointing on the weekend, Merrin, who's falling, and Tamalolo, who's done, not too much. And there's heaps of examples of their guys that just haven't been performing like they did last year. So, you know, who knows? Arrow could be the one that, you know, he's a base weapon, and if he does get the minutes, then he's going to produce the points.
Yep. No, fair enough. Fisher Harris, we've spoken about. Your boy Rocco has got the try up to 350K now. He's going along very nicely, isn't he?
He is going along very nicely, and people are looking to bring him in this week. And I did question that. However, when I did some of the maths, if he, I think, scores 40 points this week and next, he goes up nearly 100K.
Yeah, geez. So he'll be his 450K then, and hopefully by then there's another rookie that's come along that you can either A, downgrade him to, or B, downgrade someone else to, and use that cash to upgrade Rocco. I mean, Rocco to Tamalolo in 2 weeks could only cost you 100 grand.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
Definitely. Maloney had a great game last week. Should continue that for the next month or so. I think he's still an option at 460K.
Yeah, I am bringing him into my side this week. He's striking me a bit of a – he's definitely a risk, but I think it's an educated one. So without Cleary, for 1.5 games, he's produced 69, 113. He's taken full control of the Panthers. They've looked really good. He's pushing massively for a New South Wales spot. So he's got everything to play for at the moment and has taken on the goal-kicking duties. Break-even negative 34, priced at 460. So still think that that's unders for what he's – obviously unders for what he's been producing, and a great negative break-even at the moment. So, Yeah, I'm looking to downgrade Thurston to him. The only issue that I've got is that I think he's only a 5'8", so I need to play Croker in my 17 this week, which I'll look to rectify next weekend. But, yeah, I've been looking to make a bit of cash out of the Thurston to Maloney. Maloney going up in value, and then when Maloney, maxes out in value in the coming month or so, I look to then trade him out for hopefully a player, maybe like a DCE or something like that who will be playing in the bye.
Yeah, yep, fair plan, I think. Fitela Mariner's going along very nicely. He's quite popular. He's, this sort of Arrow, Murray, Fitela Mariner, Fisher-Harris, Rocco, they're all sort of around that same price. You need a bit of a jump to get up to Hess. But a lot of these guys are all sort of vying to become this year's mid-ranger who makes the step to low-end keeper, aren't they? Who do you think out of Arrow, Murray, Fitela Mariner and Fisher-Harris is going to be the one?
We'd have to say that RFM's been the most consistent so far, and his job security is probably the best out of all of them, playing 80 minutes, I think, every game this year. I think, however, the potential is with Jai Arrow, as I stated, like, if he gets the minutes, he's a 60-60 beast. And I think Cameron Murray has relied a bit more on attacking stats this year. We know that he scored that try just towards the end last week, and then has had line breaks and a few other attacking stats come his way that have boosted his scoring. So he averages around about 55 base per game, where Arrow's hitting over 60. So I think Arrow's got the most potential, but I think RFM is probably the safest option.
Okay. People are going early on George Jennings. Not sure on his job security there at Parramatta with a couple of outside backs. Obviously, Hayne and French injured, so I probably wouldn't recommend going too early on him. People are still bringing in Kikau, who's been absolutely awesome the last couple of weeks. Christian Crichton from Penrith. I think he's only averaging about 20 or just over 20. It sort of shows how desperate people are for cheapies that there's just under 2,000 super coaches who are purchasing him. He's base price, centre wing only, does have decent job security probably for the next month or so until Walker Blake returns, but I won't be going on Crichton, I don't think.
Oh, you've got DWZ, you could be back in 2 weeks, and that'll probably push Crichton out the side as well, mate. Okay. So he's got a break even of 11. That's just really? How poorly he's been going, price at 165. So I would actually rather hold on to two players such as Katoa and Lomax who aren't playing at the moment rather than using a trade on somebody like a Crichton, yeah. Particularly because I've got a Nichols, had a Latu, and now I've got a Cartwright in the side who are just, aren't doing anything for me. I want to be using all my trades to be generating cash, and that's why this week I'm going to be looking to downgrade two underperforming guns to two guys that should increase my team value going forward.
Yep. Cam Murray we've spoken about, Tohu we've spoken about. What about Jeremy Marshall-King and from the Dogs and Hassan Masters from the Tigers? So Marshall King's had a couple of small price rises, but he's still pretty cheap at 237K with a break even of -5. Hassan Masters from Wests, he's an absolute beast playing out there in the centres, just carving up with base stats and also attacking stats. I don't think he's actually scored a try yet this season, but he's a try assist, line break assist machine. Any interest in either of those two guys?
Yeah, well, I brought Marshall last week just as a bit of a downgrade option to generate some cash. I think for Moses down to I can't remember who I traded. I think it was used a dual position player to get Marshall King into my side. He's nothing special, mate, but you pointed out earlier at the start of the show that there's really nothing doing, and if Croker is our best rookie and he's almost maxed out in value at 230-odd K, then, Marshall King needs to be considered. His job security looks pretty good. The Dogs have performed reasonably well with him in the side, so he still does have a break-even. What is it? I think it's -5 at the moment. So he's going to go up in value with that 55 in his average, and hopefully he's got one more big score in him. The only worrying thing for me is the Bulldogs' upcoming draw is very, very unfriendly. So they've got the Raiders away, then they've got Cowboys away, Roosters at home, Panthers away, Broncos away. So he could be out of that side very soon because that is a extremely hard month of football ahead of the Bulldogs.
Yeah, definitely. All right, mate, there's a few other guys here who have got low break-evens. I'll just run through a couple of names. We've touched on Jennings, Sammy, Kakao, Maloney, Rocco, Fisher-Harris. These guys are all negative break-evens. Lodge, he's still at negative 11, so he'll still keep making us money. Dufty's had a couple of good weeks after a slow start. He's at a break-even of negative 10. Now, Laffey, all these guys from the Dragons are going very well. Nene McDonald. Mate, there's one name here who I'll throw at you. Plays hooker for the Warriors. Hasn't actually been playing hooker. Has more been playing as a back rower. Jazz Tavaga. Averaging 55 minutes, 49 points. Break-even is negative 15. Would it be the craziest thing in the world to trade Smithy out and bring Tavaga in?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, what you're going to be? How long are you going to be starting Tavaga for? You're going to be you're going to be starting a guy that's averaging 55 minutes per game this year. He scored 57 points in the first week, only 40 points last week. Yeah. Where are you going to get your points from and how long are you going to hold him for? What is your overall strategy with that would be my question.
Just balls to the wall. Just throw him in there, see if he can make you a bit of cash. He's averaging 49. Smithy's averaging 52.
Yeah, but it's Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. I think Tavaga's been I don't watch every game every week. But I do watch the Warriors every week, and Tavaga's been looking very good. So I don't know. It's just a bit of a left field one.
It's not the great. I mean, let's look at it from this perspective, okay? So if he averages, let's just say, what do you think's reasonable? Something like 45 points from here out?
Yep.
So if he averages 45 points from here out, he will have an overall projected profit of around about 150K, okay? So you're going to get the cash, but then you're also going to be running with a hooker. Because who do you have Cook?
Yes.
Okay, so you'd be running with Cook as your number one hooker, who also his performances have fallen right away in the last couple of weeks too. So are you? Yes, you're going to be earning a fair bit of coin out of that, 150K over a period of maybe 6 weeks or something. But then you're going to have to be running with Cook, who. As I said, has taken a dip in his super coach output. And then you got like the Smith. And so who's Smith got coming up? He's got West Tigers this week, does he?
They're playing West again this week, yep.
West again. Then they got Newcastle at home, Broncos away, New Zealand at home, St. George away, Gold Coast at home. So that's a bit of a mixed bag. And the real kicker for me, mate, excuse the pun, would be if we knew that if he was kicking goals or not. If we knew that he was kicking goals or not, then that would make the decision maybe more of a valid one. I think those are the kind of decisions that you're going to need to that could make or break your season.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just I know I said at the start I wouldn't be trading Smithy, but I do like Tavaga, and that sort of 350K. That you get from doing that trade, you could put that into getting Nichols into someone half decent. You could put that into Cartwright. You know, if you combine that with Cartwright, you've got 600K. So then you've actually really got enough cash to buy someone decent in the halves.
Who would you buy? Because in the halves, they've all kind of just really dried up of late.
Yeah, they're not really. I mean, first couple of weeks, everyone was saying, it's the year of the halves. The halves are awesome. And now they're pretty rubbish, aren't they, to be honest?
Yeah, there's only one good half in the competition at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have enough to get to SJ, I don't think, unless you had a bit of spare cash floating around.
And I wouldn't be touching SJ at the moment anyway, mate. If you look at the Warriors' upcoming draw, so people are talking the Warriors up as a top four chance at the moment, but have you had a look at who they're playing coming up in the next month or so?
No.
Okay, so they've got North Queensland at home this week, then they've got the Broncos at home, then they've got St. George, then they've got Melbourne away, then they've got the Tigers, then they've got the Roosters. So that's what, that's 5 weeks of playing arguably top eight sides.
Yep, that is tough,
That's comparing to playing South, Gold Coast, Canberra, and then they smashed the Roosters last week. So it's going to be a really interesting period for your beloved Warriors over the upcoming week. And, Percy, I don't think it's the right time to be trading Johnson in. But, your Smith to Devaga trade is definitely interesting, and it would be very much a pot option. And that actually has got me thinking. I mean, what would you rather do? Would you be trading out Smith or Thurston?
I'd probably rather trade out Thurston.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, the cash is much, much different, right?
Oh, it's only 40K. Smithy's only 40K more than Thurston.
No, I mean, the cash generated by the Smith trade versus the Thurston trade is a lot more.
Yeah.
So that has to weigh into it. And I think as long as you got Cook, you can probably guarantee he's going to get you 50 points a week, then, maybe it's not the worst option in the world.
Yeah. All right, I'll put some thought into it. I've got a couple of hours at the airport, a couple of airports tomorrow. So I'll let you know. I'll tweet it out before tomorrow night's games what I end up doing.
I reckon you need to do it, mate, because...
Got to do something, right?
You got to do something, and your season is depending on it. I mean, you change the team name of your side every single season. The club is in chaos. It's about to trade out their club stalwart champion, Immortal, to a bench hooker for the Warriors. What is going on?
I don't know, mate. Do you like my new team name?
No, I keep having to search for it to see how badly you're going. It's just not, I can't just see it as easily as being mixed boys. So now I've set up the rivalry between us, it's a lot easier.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's good. All right, we better start wrapping it up, mate. Just a couple of I just wanted to mention a couple of guys who have lost a heap of cash this year for people to put in their watch list. There's a bunch of names here who are pretty irrelevant. Gallen, obviously, he's down 90K. Milford and Rapana are down 85. Munster's down 90. The one person who's very interesting to talk about, if he can turn it around, is Mitchell Moses, who I've had and sold. 122K he's lost so far this year. His price is down to 330, so he's priced at about a 35 average. BE this week is 60. So if he has another bad game this week, he could be, let's call him 320K. Would there be any interest from you, or would you need to see a couple of weeks of decent performances first?
Yeah, no, plenty of interest for me, and he's part of my strategy going forward, actually, and that's why I'm happy to probably trade out Thurston this week, because if I can almost side trade Marshall King to Moses next week or the week after, and then Moses does cover that round 13 bye, it's only a matter of time, I think, before something happens and they click.
Yeah.
They've played, I think they've had three games out of five away. They've got a tough game against Canberra coming up. They've had three games from four away, and they've got Penrith this week, and then Canberra, Manly, and then they've got the Tigers again. So, yeah, I don't know. There looks to be heaps of things going wrong off the field at the Eels, and lots of reports. And I don't know if you saw the stuff today that was on Fox Sports with Moses yelling at the players to get off the ground bludging on the blind side, they called it as well. But, yeah, there looks to be you couldn't really trust their output. But if he falls below 300K, then, I don't know, it might just be worth the gamble to take, because if you can move Croker or Marshall onto him for pretty much nothing, then, I don't think you can – it's going to be very hard to say no.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so your trades this week, you're looking to bring Maloney in for JT. And what was the other one?
Probably Merrin to Arrow, and that will free up around about – 250K for me, so in my bank, so that next week I can properly upgrade either Cartwright to a legitimate gun, or I can, actually my first priority will probably be to upgrade one of Croker and Marshall King, because they'll be one of those who will have to be starting, because Maloney is available only at 5'8". So they're probably my options at the moment. What about yourself?
I will either do no trades or I'll do the Tavaga trade for Smith and then use that cash probably to upgrade Nichols, I think, to a Tohu Harris or someone like that. If that gives me enough cash, I've got to do the maths first.
Yeah, I think that's a smart move, and then you can look at bringing Smith in a couple of weeks if his form deserves it.
Yeah, yep. All right, mate, we will leave it there. Thank you very much for jumping on. Thanks very much to everyone for downloading and listening. Good luck this week, and we'll catch you all next week.
See you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.